We are watching the second inauguration of President Obama unfold, but what happens next? The conventional wisdom is not much. Second terms are notoriously fraught, cursed. We know President Obama, a student of history, said he looked to President Eisenhower's second term for success, but we're reminded Eisenhower then lost the space race to the Russians, paving the way for JFK. Rachel Smolkin is deputy managing editor for Politico. Rachel, second terms are also unpredictable. Everyone's saying this. Who would have thought gun legislation would start Obama's second term?
That's right. Second terms tend to range from the lackluster to the absolutely disastrous and fall somewhere along those lines. But as you're pointing out, external factors can really reshape a second term. That's true of a first term, but we've particularly seen that in second terms for presidencies. We did not hear about gun control during the presidential campaign. That was not something that President Obama talked about regularly at all. And then we had the Newtown tragedy just after his reelection, and now gun legislation has really vaulted to the forefront of his agenda. We saw him be very assertive on that already last week, coming out to unveil his proposals on what will be a very tough uphill climb here in Washington on that issue.
And will that derail him from the things he said, you know, his stated goals for his second term?
Part of the challenge with a second term is not to overreach, not to go too bold. The president already has a crowded agenda for his second term. Guns, which we've talked about. He also wants to do immigration reform early on. It's possible climate change will come into that. We know the economy is still a bit unsteady. He wants to improve that. On top of that, we've got three big fiscal cliff fights looming here in Washington on the debt ceiling issue. Will Congress raise the debt ceiling in time to prevent a default? The sequester issue, of course, these across-the-board spending cuts scheduled to take place soon, and also the issue of funding the government. We have spending bills that are due to expire in March. Will we be able to keep the lights on here in Washington?
Well, last week, Republicans agreed to push the debt ceiling debate, one of those three issues that you mentioned, at least to push the debt ceiling portion of it down the road about 3 months. And one wonders if they knew about the speculation that people had that a second-term president only has about a month to do anything. Maybe they try to get the debt ceiling debate outside that window, because we're hearing from presidential scholar James Thurber that President Obama doesn't even have 1 month of political capital in the second term. Others are saying, you know, 6 months, maybe a year.
I think President Obama's aides are a little bit more optimistic than 1 month, although certainly they're focusing on a year as a time frame when the president really has to get some things done. If we continue to deal with the debt and the deficit on a short-term basis, that's going to make it very hard to focus on the other elements of the president's agenda.
Well, the president seems to be aware of the pitfalls. He's spoken, you mentioned overreach. He's been very vocal about that, saying that he's aware of the problem of possible overreach by a president in a second term. And then there's the second term curse. We've been hearing a lot about it this weekend, George W. Bush's reaction to Hurricane Katrina and his worsening Iraq war. For President Clinton, it was the Monica Lewinsky affair. President Reagan had Iran-Contra. Nixon resigned after Watergate. Johnson didn't even run again because of Vietnam. We know, though, that Barack Obama has made himself a student of second terms. Are there things he's doing to try to avoid not having one or not having a good one?
That's right. President Obama is a scholar of history. His advisors have said that they and the president are trying to figure out both what to pursue in terms of an agenda and also questions such as energy and focus. We know for this president in particular, energy is a very important question. He tends to perform the best when his back is up against the wall.
Refer back to the first debate with Mitt Romney.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a classic example. And it was only after that performance that the president really re-engaged and came out much stronger in the next two debates. So that's kind of a classic example of the problem his aides see sometimes with the president, and obviously something they're looking for ways to avoid in his second term to keep him interested and engaged and focused.
Another problem your writers see in an article in Politico is his possibly being out of sync. Now, referring back to how he's made himself a student of history, we remember the accounts of the dinners that he had with historians and potential future biographers. plumbing them for answers to questions. How did Ronald Reagan get reelected in 84 despite there being a poor economy? And at the time, they said that he said he knew he had a problem communicating. He had a problem explaining his ideas to the electorate. Does he have to do that?
He does, of course. There are two interesting pieces of this question. The first is that the president has always had somewhat complicated relationships with Hill Democrats. He's not particularly close with them. He has some friendships, but overall has really kept his distance from them. And particularly since his reelection, we've seen a more confident President Obama come out. He's much more comfortable in taking on the Republicans, being very assertive. But that's somewhat out of sync of the mindset of his own party. And 20 Senate Democrats face reelection in 2014. Only 13 Republicans do. And many of those Democrats are running in tough states, redder states, such as North Carolina, West Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas.
President Obama may want to go bold, but he doesn't have to run again. They do.
That's exactly right. You know, another piece of this is in the way he sells his message to the public. He's gotten much more confident and comfortable in really pushing hard, sort of the outside game versus the inside game. And some, both in his party and in the Republican Party, want to see him focusing more on the inside game, the negotiations in the room. So there's a real tension about that.
We know that he's established a group organizing for action that will keep his agenda alive long after his second term. He's changed the advisors around him, sort of try to break the bubble. But you listed some of the things the president has said he'd want to do in the second term. Now gun control on the list, immigration reform, taking on the deficit, climate change. Some of the promises broken from the first, closing Guantanamo, tougher rules on lobbyists, and climate change was one that many felt he didn't step up on. But can he go back? Can he pick up Guantanamo? Can he pick up any of those things? Or is there enough on his plate for the 4 years ahead?
There's a lot on his plate, and the one that would seem to have the best success of actually moving forward is immigration reform. This has typically been a very tough issue in Washington, but we saw some very public soul-searching in the Republican Party after the last election. They did very, very poorly among Hispanic voters. So if there's an issue where we'll see people come together, it would likely be on immigration reform.
Well, they would have to come together because you can't do it without them.
It's going to take both parties to pass anything substantial.
Rachel Smolkin, Deputy Managing Editor for Politico, looking at the 4 years ahead for President Barack Obama. Rachel, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
And a little James Taylor from today's inauguration. You're listening to Here and Now.
The fruited plain.